Coming up on Transformers University, we'll call some Witwickies, the Autobots will have a heavy metal war on the moon, and we'll meet some hungry, hungry Nebulans. Right now on Transformers University. Hello, my friend, and welcome to episode number 141 of Transformers University. I am your host, Anthony Brucali, owner-operator, madman behind TFU.info, the website, the toy archive, this podcast, TFU News and Views podcast, and oh, so much more. This time around, we are talking Marvel U.S. Comics. We're going to do four issues this time. We haven't done Marvel U.S. Comics in a long time. Last time we did the U.S. comic run, it was episode number 116. So if you've been waiting for U.S. comics as part of this conversation, welcome back. Now, before we jump into this Marvel U.S. comics run, I do want to thank everyone who has been a part of the Patreon. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. But I've changed a whole bunch of things about the Patreon membership tiers and what our students get there. So if you would like to be a student, swing on by to patreon.com/TFUinfo, all one word, to sign up. Now listen, you can sign up for free as a Patreon member. I do free posts and free updates for our Patreon members. And then for our students that are enrolled, you can enroll for as little as $1 at the freshman level. That'll at least get you this podcast a full day early. And I'll get you thanked on our credits page over at www.tfu.info. And then from there on out, the benefits kind of, they definitely increase and become more interesting and more fun, especially when you get to the junior level where you get access to exclusive podcasts, exclusive videos. And even if you move up to the $2 level, which is the sophomore level, you earn rewards as early access to some of our YouTube videos, as well as access to exclusive Patreon posts. And I'll talk a bit about that later in the show, but I do want to give you a heads up that at the $2 level, the $2 and up is where everything is really fun is happening. So definitely check it out. I really do hope you join up. If you like this show, if you like the podcast, if you like TFU News and Views, and if you like the website, or if you just only like one of those, please swing on by to Patreon.com/TFUinfo. Okay, now that the housekeeping is out of the way, we are going to get into four issues of the Marvel U.S. comics, and we're going to start with issue number 40. And this one's interesting, much like issue number one was interesting, because it actually had a TV commercial.
After a series of startling defeats at the hands of the Decepticons, the Autobots create a new breed of Transformers.
They look human!
They look human, but they're pretenders!
Pretender Transformers!
Pretenders hide the Transformers inside!
The Decepticons have their own pretenders, strange and terrifying.
Pretender Transformers! They've got the power to surprise!
Battle of the Pretenders, new from Marvel Comics.
And so, issue 40, having a TV commercial. So the cover features Skullgrin and Bombburst, and I think it's Landmine chasing them from behind, plus a little inset note that says, at last, the return of Optimus Prime. This features art by Jose Delbo and Dave Hunt. And before we get too deep into this issue and beyond the credits, just do want to share some sad news. If you didn't hear, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, Jose Delbo did pass away. He was 90 years old, just a little less than a month and a half past his 90th birthday, and it's just a huge loss to the comics community overall. Jose was one who would attend Transformers conventions every so often. He was a delight to listen to. I would suggest and recommend searching out some YouTube clips of him talking about Transformers or about whatever other comics he worked on. He worked on so much. Thundercats as Super Pro. Brute Force with Simon Furman. Wonder Woman and a whole bunch of Batman and Superman books. And he will be missed. Now, issue 40 also featured pencils by Jose Delbo. It featured writing by Bob Budiansky, inks by Dave Hunt, letters by Bill Oakley, colors by Nell Yomtov, and edits by Don Daly. And we open with Optimus Prime leading the Mechabots against the Bombasticons. Because, like how the song goes,
Transformers, more than me.
Mechabots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Fantasticons. And Optimus wins. Game over.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Yep, because it turns out we're inside of a video game. Also turns out that Ethan Zachary has built a company called Alternate Reality Inc. Makes video games as he's trying to get Optimus to remember who he is.
Never forget who you are.
Now, what's neat here is that we have this conversation between Ethan Zachary and Optimus Prime, and he's talking to his computer, and there's a camera on top of the monitor, and it's not too far off from how we do, Zoom and Teams calls today. And I have to say, from a book from 1988, getting that kind of nailed down in the artwork is pretty impressive. Now, Ethan Zachary tries to jog Optimus Prime's memory with a newspaper of a recent Decepticon attack, and he can find out he has accessed parts of Optimus's memory recently on the disc that has his entire brain about the Ark and the Autobots. But no luck, Optimus believes they are characters in the game, and the same for Buster Witwicky. Now Ethan decides, and I'm going to quote this straight from the book, to program my computer to call every Witwicky in Portland. So that got me wondering, how many Witwickies could there possibly be in Portland in 1988? Now, the Library of Congress, the U.S. Library of Congress, has a really good history archive of old phone books and old white pages. And for those of you too young to remember what those are, before the internet, when people would call each other on landlines, the phone company published a book with everyone's phone number in it. And you actually had to pay to have your phone number removed from it to be a hidden listing. Otherwise, your name was public, and so was your phone number, and most likely your address as well. Now, they didn't have anything for Portland in the area, though I did do a Google search and a couple of, less than reputable websites to see how many Witwickies are in Portland right now. And I couldn't get Portland, but nationwide, there's about 11 in the country. So just based on those numbers, I did dig through the Library of Congress phone books. And while I couldn't find Portland, Oregon, I did find Pomona, California from 1988. Now, it is roughly 10% of the size of Portland. And out of that 10%, you would figure we should get a fraction of Witwickies in Portland, especially one that would require a 1988 computer program to dial them all. Zero Witwickies in Portland, in Pomona in 1988, which means you do the math, 10 times zero is still zero. So not sure why he needed a computer program to call all the Witwickies in Portland. But he did, and eventually, with his Google prototype, Ethan finds Sparkplug. Now, Sparkplug gives us an angry recap of the last few issues and then slams the phone down. Out in space, Fortress Maximus is being repaired on the Steelhaven, and Spike reveals that he has actually bugged his father's house, and here's what was going on in that phone conversation. Goldbug decides to head back to Earth to further investigate the return of Optimus Prime. Now, he finds Ethan Zachary's headquarters and the computer Optimus, and together Ethan and Goldbug try to figure out what to do. And Ethan hacks into a genetics lab, the one in the newspaper that the Decepticons had just recently taken over. We find out that Ethan's college nickname was King Hacker. What does he do when he hacks through? Well, he sends Optimus through the internet tube to the lab. And yes, people who were adults in the 80s literally believe the internet is a series of tubes, as evidenced by this.
They deliver in other ways, but they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line. It's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material.
Now, if you don't know what that is, please just Google internet series of tubes. Optimus finds the Decepticons as they create pretenders, and he gets caught in a data search. And then he gets caught in a torrent. And I'm going to screen grab that and throw that up somewhere because The terminology is fantastic, right? Because that means Optimus is now pirating information via torrent to bring back to Ethan Zachary's lab, and that's exactly what he does. The Autobots then copy the pirated pretender technology and to make their own pretenders. Optimus decides he wants to go back as bait, but Goldbug doesn't want him to die again, to which Optimus says, if I die, you can always recreate me. Scary how true that one panel is. I'm going to post that up to the socials. I've already actually placed it up on the Patreon, if you haven't been there, patreon.com/TFUinfo. That is arguably the most poignant panel in the history of the Marvel run. Now, we find that the Decepticon pretenders are sent on a mission, and the Autobot pretenders are defending the lab, this lab that they're protecting. Optimus commands his team to victory, and then Scorponok on the back end enters the computer to attack Optimus. But we find out it was a trap all along. Optimus defeats Scorponok with a data surge, and the Decepticons retreat. Optimus still thinks he's a game, and he is stuck in his disc. And that is the end of the issue. Overall, it's a pretty cool issue. It's kind of got some neat 80s computer thinking in it, as you see from me making fun of it. Overall, it's still a good time. Now, that takes us to issue number 41, titled Totaled. On the cover is a battle royale between the Autobots and Decepticons. It is my all-time favorite personal cover, drawn by Jose Delbo with inks by Dave Hunt. And there's just so much going on there. The scale is kind of wacky, but it really is just such a neat cover. They're Transformers from like every year up until that point, from 84 through 88. Pretenders and G1 cars, and I think there's an Insecticon on the cover somewhere, but it's just, it's so cool. This is by far my favorite cover of the Marvel US run. I haven't really experienced all the covers of the Marvel UK run, so I will reserve judgment there. But I do love this cover. And it features writing by Bob Budiansky, pencils by Jose Delpo, inks by Danny Bulandi, and we'll get back to him in just a second. Letters by Bill Oakley, colors without a U by Nell Yamtov, and edits by Don Daly. Now, Danny Bulandi, born in the Philippines, got his start at DC in 1975, was an inker at Marvel through the 80s and 90s. Worked on Micronauts, Captain America, including the Streets of Poison storyline, which is one of my personal favorites, Fantastic Four, Quasar, Avengers West Coast. Fun fact, he was also a storyboard artist on season 3 of the Transformers cartoon, which is one that makes him one of the few people to work on both the comic and the cartoon. Now, what I also found out about Danny Bulandi is that he was an avid singer of Filipino love songs, and recorded a whole bunch under the name Danny Harana. And, of course, he has a YouTube page, so let's give a quick listen.
Kung bakit sa tuwi na ay naalala naglahong ligaya sa iya. Puso ko'y may dusa kapag naalala lumipas na araw sinta.
Now, sadly, Danny Bulandi passed away in November of 2022, chronic heart failure. He was 76 years old. Now, this starts with Fortress Maximus, Highbrow, Brainstorm, and Goldbug trying to rebuild body for Optimus Prime, but they have no luck. And in fact, the opening splash page is kind of a tribute to issue 24, where Optimus gets blown up at the very end, and his body just won't stay together. Now, on the radio, we get Hot Rod, who has tracked down the Ark. Maybe they can help. On the Ark, we get introduced to Grimlock, performing as his king of the Autobots at this point, wearing his crown. His speech is now similar to that of the cartoon, which it wasn't really before. And as much as Ratchet is trying to interject with things that he needs to do, no one wants to listen to Ratchet. But they get an incoming signal from the Steelhaven. Fortius Maximus and the team from the Steelhaven come aboard. These are team leaders and officers, and they're introduced as Point Blank leader of the Target Masters, Scattershot leader of the Technobots, Landmine leader of the Pretenders, and Grotusk, who is their information officer. And throughout this exchange, Grimlock refuses to call Fortius Maximus by his proper name, calls him Fruit Loop Multipuck, Fork Tongue Maxi Face, and Full Strength Motley Puss. So Grimlock not being able to get Fortius Maximus's name correct is either him just being a jerk or him not being very bright. Either way, it does lead to some fun interchanges between the two. Now, Fork Tongue Maxi Face shows the disc of Optimus Prime, and reveals that he, in fact, is also binary bonded to Spike. Grimlock, disgusted by the human-Cybertronian combination, and finding out that Goldbug is aboard the Steelhaven, wants Goldbug arrested. And Goldbug does turn himself in to avoid an incident. Grimlock then votes trial by combat, which is an ancient Autobot tradition, just like in Heavy Metal War. So Fortius Maximus and Grimlock will now fight each other to become the leader of the Autobots. In the break, Goldbug reunites with Blaster and convinces him to stand in for Fortius Maximus as his champion. Elsewhere, the Decepticons are on their flying island with Buster Witwicky as their prisoner, and they realize all the Autobots are together and plan an attack to wipe them all out once and for all. They land on Earth's moon, and the Autobots from both ships disembark for the contest. And this is another incredible bit of art, kind of lazy coloring by Neil Yamtov, going blues across for everyone, but I assume that is for time. You have the art crew coming out, which is mostly like 84 and 85 guys, plus the aerial bots. We see Sunstreaker for the first time since Shockwave ripped him apart. And then we also see the Steelhaven crew, which is mostly 86 to 88 guys. So we get a really cool, like, two panels of just, you know, sharks and the jets kind of thing, right? Like, we've got them all coming out. And just being able to see this many characters all in one book really does something for me as a comic book fan and as a Transformers fan. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but it is just so cool and so much fun. On the Steelhaven, three Autobots are left to protect the Optimus Prime disc, those being Slapdash, Getaway, and Joyride. And if you know anything about those three, you know where this is headed. Omega Supreme is refereeing the fight, and Blaster and Grimlock throw down. In the middle of the fight, Decepticon ship attacks. It maybe kills Bleachcomber? Not quite sure, but he got a direct hit from the ship. And then there's another great page of the Decepticons coming to attack. And there's lots of great art in this book. This is probably one of Jose Delbo's finest pieces of work as Transformers artist. And we have Decepticon attack. We have a really cool shot of Swindle blasting Brawn. And then there's just all sorts of stuff going on between that and the fight with Grimlock and Blaster, which falls away from the main battle. At the Ark, the Constructicons break in and rescue the imprisoned Decepticons from issue number 19. So that would be the Seekers, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp, Rumble, the Red One, Frenzy, the Blue One, and Buzzsaw. And we haven't seen any of those guys in a while, but it technically making an appearance here, right? So really great callbacks to like every little niche of characters that we've had over the first 4 years of this book. Seeing the battle in the distance, Blaster and Grimlock call a truce and join the fight. Fortius Maximus orders Goldbug to flee with Optimus Prime's disc and the crew on the Steelhaven. Grimlock and Blaster turn the tide of the fight, including Grimlock shooting Dragscrip through the back, cutting Blitzwing in half. They both damage the island ship while the Decepticons flee, and we find out at the very end that the Steelhaven, with Optimus Prime's disc and Goldbug and Slapdash, Getaway, and Joyride, is heading to Nebulos. So what's going to happen with the disc? Well, we'll find out just after this.
Hey, want to help out this podcast or the website tfu.info? There's a number of ways you can do it. Let me tell you how. You can help us directly by joining our Patreon and enrolling as a student at Transformers University. There, you'll get early access to the podcast as well as exclusive behind-the-scenes peeks and perks for as little as $1 a month. Sign up is quick and easy. Just swing on by to www.patreon.com/TFUinfo. Another way you can help us is by using our Amazon link, www.tfu.info/Amazon. Type that into your browser whenever you want to shop at Amazon, and a portion of what you spend will be contributed back to us. It's that easy. Finally, you don't become the world's longest-running Transforming Toy Archive without some help from other fans. We're always on the hunt for photos of figures and accessories we're missing from our pages. If you'd like to contribute, go to tfu.info/help for a list of what we need, or send an email to info@tfu.info. tfu.info, the Alpha Trion and Omega Prime of Transforming Toys. Now, back to the show.
And that takes us to issue number 2, People Power, which features Power Master Optimus Prime on the cover by Jose Delbo and Dave Hunt. This book written by Bob Budiansky, pencils by Jose Delbo, inks by Dave Hunt and Don Hudson, letters by Bill Oakley, colors by Nell Yontov, edits by Don Daly. Now, Don Hudson's first appearance on this book, he started at Marvel while in high school, which would put him in about 20, 21 years old when this book came out, and is a longtime comic book creator, has done stuff with basically every company you can think of. Also went on to be an animation artist on TV shows such as Godzilla the Series, Men in Black the Cartoon, and Dragon Tales. Now this one starts with Dreadwind and Darkwing combined in their Dreadwing mode attacking a restaurant because their Power Master partners, High Test and Throttle, are hungry. Arriving in space is the Steel Haven, and a shuttlecraft brings Goldbug, Getaway, Joyride, and Slapdash to Nebulous. They seek out a gentleman by the name of High Q. They also meet some of his compatriots, two gentlemen by the name of Lube and Hotwire, and a female named Kari. They want them to build a new body for Optimus Prime. High Q catches them up on what's been going on Nebulous. He and High Test, which is one of the Power Masters that is with Dreadwind and Darkwing, found a way to make all the fuel on Nebulos poisonous to Transformers. In the past, Dreadwind and Darkwing attacked and ran out of fuel and started to rot on Nebulos. High Test then recruited a criminal named Throttle, and Throttle stole the data for the Power Master process and cuts a deal with the Decepticons to be their engines, essentially, right? The only thing is that as biological creatures, this made them 10 times hungrier than they would normally be, so they have to eat a lot of food, hence why they're attacking a restaurant. High Q agrees to help with the team building a body for Optimus, but will not be able to refuel them once they get tired. And of course, they start on the refuel and eventually get tired. Another one of High Q's employees named Rev arrives with word of a new attack from Dreadwind and Darkwing. The Autobots roll out, and they win in this fight, but eventually are exhausted at the end. Kari sees that they're dying, but Goldbug wants to continue on building this new body for Optimus. Optimus is reborn and can now combine with his trailer, but he still thinks he's a game, and then falls over from the pain of not having fuel or taking the Nebulan fuel, and kind of a little bit of a gray area on that one. The Nebulans then volunteer for the Power Master process. So that would be Lube and Rev, Hotwire, and then ultimately High Q for Optimus Prime. And then the Autobots recover. They fight off Dreadwind and Darkwing with Power Master Optimus Prime, making his first appearance in the comics. And then High Q banishes High Test and Throttle from Nebulous. By extension, Dreadwind and Darkwing leave the planet, but so much High Q and his team. The Autobots can no longer survive without them, so they have to go along with them. And Kari is left alone. The end. Now, what's interesting here, a couple of notes. One note I made here is that the Nebulans are often called human in this story, which is not totally accurate, but I guess kind of is. I find that the backstory of what happened after everyone left Nebulos is really interesting. And the Power Master process being like this stolen bit of technology is actually really kind of neat. And we kind of see it even earlier, right? The Pretender process is stolen by the Autobots. The Power Master process is stolen by the Decepticons. To have this kind of arms race almost, right? But I do like the backstory here. Like, the Nebulans really trying really hard to keep robots off their planet, keep war off their planet. Now that takes us to one more book for this episode of Transformers University. And this one's an odd one, because we're going to pause the story here about Power Master Optimus Prime and the return of Optimus. And we're going to jump into issue number 43, the big broadcast of 2006. Now, if that sounds familiar, that's because it's a cartoon episode. And this is the first and only time, other than Transformers the movie being made into its own limited series, it's the first and only time a episode from the seasons, from season 3, would be published in a Transformers comic. Now, I had heard that Dweller in the Depths, and there's some notes on it, but the art is Lost Time, that the Dweller in the Depths was also adapted to comic form, but was never released and never published. And that this one was, and features a cover of Rodimus Prime and Galvatron duking out. And this one's by Herb Trimpe, who is, as we've mentioned earlier, is a renowned comic book artist from the 80s. And if you want to hear our coverage of the cartoon episode, you have to go all the way back, almost halfway back in the entire run of this show, to episode number 75. Now, a lot of people returning that we haven't seen in a while. This book, the story was written by Ralph Macchio, who wrote the original four-part miniseries. Pencils by Alan Kupperberg, inks by Dave Elliott, letters by Kurt Hathaway, who we'll get to in just a minute, and then, of course, colors by Neil Yomtov, edits by Don Daly. Kurt Hathaway, been a letterer on thousands of comics, no lie, thousands of comics, all the big publishers, Marvel, DC, Valiant, Image, Dark Horse. I will just make a note that you've probably, if you've read a comic, you've probably read his work. Now, the story is roughly the same as the cartoon version, so I'm not going to get too deep into it. The Quintessons want a canister that's on the planet of Junk. They hypnotize the Junkians through TV programming that they are broadcasting straight at the planet, to which then the Junkians share it with the rest of the universe, and in doing so, make everyone hostile. Everyone comes to the planet of Junk to fight. Nobody gets the canister. And eventually the signal is destroyed. Now, I did make some notes because there are some interesting differences and just oddball things that I do want to share with you before we wrap up this episode. So the first and only main U.S. comic appearances of Ultra Magnus, the Quintessons, the Junkions, and the Sharkticons. One time in the text, Wreck-Gar is mistakenly called Junk-Gar. The text also mentions the evolution of mechanical life in order to explain the Quintessons, Junkions, and Sharkticons. And that's a piece that gets ignored. It doesn't really get brought up that the mechanical life could have just evolved other places. There could have been natural, naturally occurring gears, levers, and pulleys on other planets. When the Quintessons lure the Junkions to their big projection TV, they use this song. Which actually has a title. I didn't know this. It's Thus Spake Zarathustra. It's an old classical piece. I always just thought it was the thing from 2001. And then finally, in the view screen, in one of the last panels, the USS Enterprise can be seen fleeing as one of the ships from the battle. As we go complete 180 here, from issue 41 is probably one of my all-time favorite Transformers comics. This is probably one of my all-time least favorite Transformers comics. It's clearly filler. Even at a younger age, I could tell it was filler. Doesn't affect the story one way or another, and doesn't move things along in any meaningful way. Now, the UK version of this is different, and we'll touch on that in a UK show in the future. What is coming in the future in episode 142? Stick around to find out.
Thanks for listening to the show. Stick around to hear what's coming up next episode, but first, I want to fill you in on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show. Want to be on the show? Leave us a voicemail at 702-763-4838. That's 702-POD-4TFU. Or send an email to info@tfu.info. Be sure to catch us on Twitter @TFU_info and on Facebook and Instagram under the username TFUinfo, all one word. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TFUinfo, where we post all of our podcasts plus special video segments, reviews, and live coverage of Transformers-related events such as New York Toy Fair and New York Comic Con. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please visit us at www.tfu.info, the world's longest-running transforming toy archive.
And that will just about do it for this episode of Transformers University. Now, as I mentioned before, we do have a whole bunch of changes to our Patreon. I do want to encourage you to swing on by patreon.com/tfuinfo to sign up. Now, as I mentioned, there's been some changes, and let's, you know, take just a minute to walk through them because they are going to impact how the show is done going forward to some extent, and just want you to know what they are. Now, listen, you can sign up for free to be part of the occasional update. You can sign up for as little as $1 at the freshman level. That will get you access to the show 24 hours in advance. It'll also get you thanked on our credits page at tfu.info. At the sophomore level, you'll get all that stuff, plus you'll get early access to some of our YouTube videos, as well as access to Patreon-exclusive posts, which I've been doing a lot of lately, talking about the current leaks for the 2025 and 2026 product lines, such as Legacy and Studio Series and some of the collaborative stuff and some of the Amazon-exclusive stuff, all that, plus previews of the episodes. I've already posted a handful of screen grabs from the comics that we talked about in this episode exclusively to our Patreon. We have some great conversation there, some great back and forth, and I'd really love for you to be a part of it. Now, that's all at the $2 level. Now, if you join up at the $3, the junior level, which is our biggest group, you get all those rewards, plus you get access to all of our exclusive content, exclusive videos, exclusive podcasts, such as our Seven Figures podcast, such as some of the other previews I've done for various lines within Transformers, and then just some of my random thoughts as we do things around the world of Transformers and movies and comics and collecting. And of course, you'll get to participate in any of our exclusive polls designed to help decide what happens in future episodes of this and TFU News and Views. Now, at the senior level, you get all of that, plus you get your name read on the show at the end of every episode, starting with this episode. And then finally, at the super senior level, which is our second most popular level, and that is $10 a month. You get all those previous rewards, plus you'll have opportunities via the Patreon to submit questions that I'm going to answer right here, either on Transformers University or TFU News and Views. But you'll have a chance to create content for the show by asking questions. And of course, you really want to go crazy, and no one's taking me up on this yet. You can do the $50 a month graduate enrollment, and every month you can pick a topic for me to discuss on Transformers University or TFU News and Views. I do reserve the right to refuse any topic based on how I feel about how that will reflect on the site or myself. So with that in mind, we are going to do our first read of our super seniors and seniors supporters over on the Patreon, patreon.com/TFUinfo. So, big thank you, big shout out to our super seniors, Alex Mendoza, Eric Sire, John Forex Levenga, Jay Soups, Paul Heal, and Sean Hamilton, and our senior, Jacob Owen Lucha. Thank you all for supporting this, and everyone else on the Patreon, thank you for supporting and being incredible students of Transformers University. With that, we are going to wrap up episode 141. I am your host, Anthony Brucalli, owner-operator, Madman by TFU.info. Until next time, see ya.